Welcome to Torti Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we will be studying Ezra Perek Yud, Ezra Chapter 10. Ezra Perek Yud begins with the height of a climax that we left off in Perek Tet. There, Ezra had put himself out there in the depth of despair and had spoken to Hashem and said, Hashem, we do not deserve to live anymore. Klal Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, have rejected you in the most terrible way when you never rejected us. And here we came back from the Galut. You gave us a remnant. And what did we do with it? We threw it back in your face. And now, says Ezra to Hashem at the end of chapter 9, you don't owe us anything anymore. Now you can just destroy us. And then Perek Tet ends and we don't know what happens next. Perek Yud, chapter 10, begins with this tension. Ukehit palel Ezra. Ukehit vadto. As Ezra is praying, and as he's admitting all their sins, boche umitnapel lifnei beit Elokim, and as he's crying and crying and prostrating himself, falling before the Beit HaMikdash, nikbutsu elav miYisrael kahal rav ma'od anashim v'nashim, Viladim, kibachu ha'am harbei bacheh. People are coming and watching, and then they start crying, and then a larger crowd gathers, and now you have this huge crowd that's gathered around Ezra and watching him cry, and they're all crying. And it almost reminds us of the failed dedication ceremony of the Beit HaMikdash back in Perek Gimel, where there was laughter and there was crying. Now we're at the built Beit HaMikdash and there's only crying. But what's about to happen is going to be a new dedication ceremony, because we are about to rededicate the Beit HaMikdash, not just the physical building, but we're about to rededicate the purpose of this entire project of going to Israel. And the answer comes not from Ezra, but rather from one of the onlookers. Vayan Shechaniah ben Yechiel, b'mnei Elam. A man steps up. His name is Shechaniah ben Yechiel. We never heard of him before, and we never hear about him again. And he says, Vayomer le'Ezra, anachnu ma'alnu belokenu. You're right, Ezra, we sinned against Hashem. V'neshev nashim nachriot me'amei ha'aretz. And we promise you, Ezra, that we have married these foreign women. But Ezra, it's not going to be that way. We don't have to stay with that ending. Yesh mikveh li Yisrael, also there is hope for B'nai Yisrael. Yes, we sinned, but just as we sinned, we can also repair. And says Shechaniah ben Yechiel, v'ata nachreit brit le'elokeinu. We're now, right here, now we're going to make a covenant. Lotzi kol nashim v'hanolad mehem, v'atzat Hashem v'hacharidim v'matzvat elokeinu, v'ketorah ya'aseh. We now make a treaty to Hashem that we are going to take away all of these wives and the children. We're going to send them back to the areas that they came from these Amei Haaretz. We are the Charidim b'mitzvat Elokeinu. We are those that tremble about the laws of Hashem, ketorah ye'aseh, and we will keep the Torah. And this is Ezra's goal. Remember, Ezra came to Israel, l'lamed b'Yisrael chok u'mishpat. He came to Israel to teach the Torah. He was the Sofer Mahir. He was the expert scribe. And here he hears echoed by the people that while it started as a calamity, his goal is starting to be met. The people are saying, "Ketorah yaseh." We are going to keep the Torah. The Torah is our guide, and we forgot. And now we're ready to return. The phrase that Shechaniah ben Yechiel, Yesh mikveh li Yisrael, there's hope for B'nai Yisrael, brings to mind another time a leader promised that there was hope. And that leader is Yirmiyahu. the prophet, if you remember, that Ezra invoked when he began the Sefer, because he saw, Ezra the narrator, saw that this whole Eretz Yisrael project is a fulfillment of Yirmiyahu's Nevuah. Right after the Jews were exiled in the time of King Jehoiachin in 597, 11 years before the Churban, Yirmiyahu wrote a letter to the exiles, explaining to them what the Galut was going to be like. He told them to settle down, but then in 70 years Hashem would redeem them. He promised them, "Ki anochi yadati et ha-machshavot asher ani choshev aleichem." I know my thoughts about you, says Hashem. Machshavot shalom. My thoughts are peaceful thoughts, v'lo l'ra'a, and not evil. Latet lahem acharit, v'tikva. I am going to give you a future and a hope. With these words, Yirmiyahu is framing the Galut not as a time of despair, but as a corrective. And therefore, because it's a corrective, it's a time of tikva. It's a time of hope. And that way, when you get back to Israel, you can be better than you were before you left. Here, Shechaniah ben Yechiel addresses Ezra and the entire congregation and tells them that they too have hope. They do not have to fall into despair, even though this was a terrible sin and even though it was very widespread. Yes, they've done a terrible thing, but it doesn't mean that they have no more connection with Hashem. Rather, they can correct their sin, and they can be charedim b'mitzvat Elokeinu. They can be those that tremble about the mitzvah of Hashem, the Torah Yaseh, and they can keep the Torah. They can reconnect with Hashem. Now, whether Ezra's prayer to Hashem in Parak 10 and Chapter 9 was a performance to make the people feel guilty, or whether Ezra genuinely felt despair, and that's why he spoke the way he did, and perhaps he really did feel that Hashem had every right to completely destroy Bnei Israel. Either way, it was effective. Now Shechaniah ben Yechiel, one of the officers, steps up, and he is the one that offers a solution and tells everyone that there is hope. He tells everyone there's always a way to do teshuva, a way to repair. And therefore, Ezra really accomplished this goal. He didn't have to hold it over their heads, but he was able to make people feel guilty enough that they realized that they really had sinned and that they need to do teshuva. Shechaniah doesn't just leave it up in the air. Rather, he proposes that they make a brit, a covenant, and promise that they will put away their non-Jewish wives and children and dedicate themselves back to Hashem. He then turns to Ezra in Pasuk Dalet in verse 4, and he gives Ezra encouragement. And he says to him, "Kum, get up, ki alecha hadavar, you have to do this, v'anachnu imcha, and we, the people, are with you, chazak v'aseh, strengthen yourself, and let's go." Ezra's plan to help the people recognize what they did wrong instead of imposing it from the outside, whether it came from an overwhelming despair or from a more thought-out way to confront the people indirectly, is clearly a success. Now, Ezra himself isn't satisfied with the promise of the Jews who happened to be in Jerusalem at the time to divorce their wives. Rather, he wants to make sure that he eradicates this intermarriage problem from the whole Bnei Israel before they lose the essence of what it means to be Jewish. Finally, we see Ezra use the authority that he actually had all along, but now with the buy-in from many important people and with the idea of repair stemming from the people themselves. Ezra sends a message to all the Jews of Judea that they have 3 days to gather in Jerusalem. Anyone who doesn't come will have all of his possessions confiscated and will be put into chirim, excommunication, from the community. And so, on the 20th day of Kislev, everyone gathers in Jerusalem waiting to hear what Ezra will do. After such a harsh proclamation to get them there, and with the knowledge of the power that Ezra actually has, they are nervous. What's in store for them? What's Ezra going to do to them? And then, of course, as you can imagine, it starts to rain, because after all, it is the month of Kislev, and that's the rainy season. And the weather just seems to parallel what's happening inside the people. The gloominess, the wetness, the uncomfortability that they feel inside is also reflected in their outside. Now, Ezra gets up in the rain and addresses the trembling congregation, who are trembling, the pasuk says, both from their fear and from the cold. Vayakam Ezra haKohen, vayomer alem, atem ma'altem, you have sinned. Toshivu nashim nachriot, Losif al Ashma Israel. And you people, you have married these foreign women, and you've heaped on guilt on Israel. And now in verse 11, Tnu Todah LaHashem. Todah here doesn't mean thankfulness. Todah means modeh. You need to give acknowledgement. You need to admit that you were wrong. Elokei Avotechem. Va'asu ritzono. And you also need to do what Hashem wants of you, what Hashem always wanted of you. V'hi badlu me'ame ha'aretz u'min ha'nashim ha'nachriyot. You need to separate yourselves, not just from the foreign wives, but from these other nations that you've brought in. You're too mixed up with them. It used to be, even one generation ago, that they were your enemies. And now they're not just your neighbors, which would be fine, but you've become one of these just Amei Haaretz. You're losing yourself into them, and you're marrying their daughters. And in what seems like a repeat of the Har Sinai story, the nation responds as one. Vayanu kol hakahal vayomru kol gadol. And the entire nation responds, and they say in one loud voice, Kain kidvarecha aleinu la'asot. Yes, we will do as you say, Ezra. We will divorce our wives. We will separate ourselves. We will try to reclaim the Jewish identity that we were so close to losing. They organize a system in which judges would inspect certain parts of the Jews, city by city, to make sure that actually everyone does divorce their wives and sends their wives back to their countries. And they set up a system where they go through each person. Now, as they're going through the information, Vayimsa, they find Mibnei HaKohanim Asher Hoshivu Nashim Nachriyot, one of the Kohanim, one of the families of Kohanim that actually had married these foreign wives, Mibnei Yoshua Ben Yotzadak Ve'achav. It was the children of the Kohen Gadol, Yoshua Kohen Gadol, along with his brothers, Maaseya Ve'elazar Ve'yariv Ugdalia, the most prominent family of Kohanim, were of the ones who had intermarried. This is the great Yoshua Kohen Gadol, the one who led the Jews back to Israel with Zerubbabel. This is one of the people whose descendants intermarried. And this story is discussed further in one of Zechariah's visions, where he sees Yoshua wearing dirty clothing, symbolizing the guilt of his children. And there Zechariah removes this dirty clothing of Yoshua and replaces it with clean clothing, showing Yoshua that it's possible for the sin to be repaired. The book of Ezra ends with yet another list, our third, and this is a list of people who had intermarried and then divorced their non-Jewish wives. And in that way, the book of Ezra ends as it began, with teshuvah, with return. The book begins with the physical return to Israel and ends with the spiritual return to God. The book begins by the Jews physically removing themselves from their Persian exile and ends with the Jews removing themselves from the foreign influences that they themselves had invited in. The book begins with a list of people who went with Zerubbabel, strong pioneers who were ready to do anything to settle a barren land. And then it ends with a whisper, the list of the leaders who are supposed to help the Jews become better Jews. But they lost their way. But then they returned. And in this way, the book of Ezra is as such a book of losing your way and then returning. The path to build the Beit HaMikdash was not simple, nor was it easy. Mistakes were made, decisions had to be done and then undone, progress was slow. But it is this generation of Jews, the Jews of the Second Temple, who taught us to seek Hashem, even when he is hidden, to find him in the natural world, and to do the right thing, to follow the Torah, even when there is no prophet telling you to do it. We began our learning with the question, who is this Ezra that he merited to be the one mentioned to which the Torah would have been given to him had Moshe not come first? Perhaps now, meeting Ezra both as a narrator and as a character, we can formulate an answer. Ezra is the one who teaches the Jews to use the Torah to connect with Hashem. Ezra is the one who always sees the hands of Hashem, while not diminishing his own effort one bit. Remember, Ezra is the one who taught the Jews to see the hand of Hashem in the time of Koresh, that this is your Geula. Even though he wasn't a character, but he was the narrator at the time, that was in Perek Aleph. He was the one, Ezra, who teaches the Jews how to withstand foreign influences. He's the one who says that it was Hashem's help that allowed them to withstand Tatnai and his friends in Perek Hey and Vav when they sent that letter to Darius accusing the Jews of trying to rebel. Ezra is the one that constantly strengthens the people and tells them, I know you don't see Hashem, but that doesn't mean he is any less there. He is always looking for the hand of Hashem, both in his own life personally and nationalistically in the life of the Jews. Ezra is also the one who understands people, and he understands what it means to be a leader and have to understand human psychology, have to understand what the people need, and therefore he interacts with the people in a way that allows them to bring out their best selves and connect with Hashem, even when it's hard. And we see this over and over. The political navigations that Ezra has shows he has, as a leader, an intimate knowledge of how people work and what is going to best suit them to be their best selves. It's no coincidence that Ezra's speech to the people parallels Har Sinai, and their answer to Ezra parallels their acceptance of the Torah. Because this second giving of the Torah that Ezra helped them do is not actually a giving of the Torah, but just reintegrating the Torah into their lives in a way perhaps they had forgotten to do. And maybe this second giving of the Torah, the integration of the Torah into their lives, and we know that Ezra begins the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, who eventually blossom into this rich rabbinic system where you have people that can help you, rabbis, leaders that are not prophets, but they can help you navigate your daily life according to the Torah and the blossoming of the halachic system that really begins with Ezra. Maybe this is even more important than the first, because it's this system that helps us navigate our daily lives as we know it today. We don't have that same clarity about Hashem's role or what he wants from us without prophets who tell us what this is, who tell us what's wrong and how we can improve, and tell us what Hashem wants of us, and without any blatant miracles that we can point to and say, you see, Hashem was definitely there. But Ezra is ushering in a different way to look and see God. Hu Ezra asher natan levavo l'droshat Hashem. He is Ezra who gave over his heart to seek Hashem and to teach Torah. And this is what he does with the ushering in of the rabbinic system. When we read Pirkei Avot, we see that there's a direct line of Mesorah. In the first parak of Pirkei Avot, we read, Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai, umasra li Yoshua, Yoshua li Zakenim, Zakenim li Nevi'im, Nevi'im masrua la Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. The Nevi'im gave it over to the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, and they had to create a new system, because the old system of Nevi'im was not available anymore. And this new system of Ezra teaches us a different way to look and see God. It teaches us that we will always have the Torah to guide us, even if we don't have prophets, to point out exactly what we need. We'll always have the Torah, and the Torah will be the one that will point us in the right direction. Thank you so much for studying Sefer Ezra with me. It was truly my honor to learn this fascinating Sefer together with you. And thank you for studying together, Le'ilo Nishmat, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef.